You'll open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. It's a tragedy when families don't get along together and there is not full acceptance within a family. It's a tragedy on a national level when countries can't get along and wars result, but I think the ultimate tragedy is when it happens within the family of God, within a church. We have been blessed here at Sunset through the years with the unity that has been a hallmark of this congregation, and it's not something that's just happened accidentally. I've had a variety of experiences throughout my life with different congregations, and some congregations had to work harder than others to maintain unity. When we lived in Limerick, Ireland, about half the congregation was made up of Englishmen, and the other half were Irish. And if you don't know, the English don't like the Irish, and the Irish really don't like the English. And it was a real difficulty. We had a real challenge on our hands maintaining unity within that congregation and being accepting when someone came in that was different from some of those who were already part of the congregation. When Vicki and I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, we worked with a congregation there that was a mixed congregation racially. We were about half black, half white, and we worked hard at maintaining unity as a congregation despite the racial differences that existed there in that place. There are a lot of reasons why we have difficulties accepting people who are different from us. We sometimes have to just deal with personality conflicts. And that's in any congregation, even of people who are very alike in other ways. There are cultural differences. Here in the Midwest, we have less of that than you'll find in many of the other parts of the country, especially along the coastline. We have nothing like the problems that we're reading about here in the book of Galatians and others of Paul's letters, where you had a contrasting divide between Jew on the one hand and Gentile on the other. We have to deal with levels of maturity. Now, this happens in almost every congregation, no matter where the locale. Some Christians are newer Christians than others. And you have mature Christians and you have brand new baby Christians, and you have the same difficulties that you have in a family where there are mature members of the family and then immature members of the family. There are greater needs with new Christians than there are with more mature Christians. There are those who need help and then those who are capable of giving help on these two levels. We read about that in Paul's letter to the Romans, the weak and the strong, and the dangers of division in that congregation and Paul's challenge for them to bear with each other and not look down on one party and not judge the other party. And so that is always a challenge within any congregation. And then there's what happened especially in the Galatian church, and that was a misunderstanding of the requirements of acceptance into the family of God. The Judaizers had a different definition than Paul did as to what were the basic entrance requirements in order for someone to be a Christian, to be accepted into the fellowship of the family of God. There are groups today, and you've probably seen some of these groups, who have very rigid dress codes. If you're going to be part of that church group, then it will require the wearing of certain kind of clothing. It'll require wearing your hair in a certain way. It'll require a certain kind of makeup, or rather no makeup, jewelry is part of the equation. And so all these factors go into whether or not you can be in full fellowship within that particular group. Sometimes you can walk into a group and you don't see those rules initially. Sometimes they're unwritten rules that are not so obvious. And you may have been someplace at some time or another where you tripped up on one of those rules that you didn't know was a rule within that particular group. Here in Galatians, Paul talks about acceptance. And we want to look at acceptance from two different sides. First of all, we want to look at acceptance from the leaders in Jerusalem, and then we want to look at it from Paul's perspective as he viewed those leaders in Jerusalem. Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. As for those who seemed to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. You know, this problem could have divided the church in its early days and created a division that would have just produced nothing but catastrophe in all the intervening years. But the leaders in Jerusalem saved the day, really. They saw what was going on. Look here in verse 7, and I think this is an important message for us. It says, on the contrary, they saw, those leaders in Jerusalem, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. You know, Paul and his Gentile buddies were a hard pill to swallow for many of those churches. If they came into an existing congregation, the early church was made up of Jewish Christians. And for these Gentiles to come into one of those congregations would have been disruptive at the very least. But the leaders in Jerusalem saw something larger that was going on that was worth fighting for the unity of the church. Thankfully, Peter and James and the other leaders listened to what Paul had to say, and they observed what was taking place in the lives of these Gentiles who were coming to Christ. They saw beyond the controversy to the truth that God accepts all men. What Peter had been taught that day on the roof when the sheet was let down, and he was told, don't call anything common and unclean that I have made clean. Now this meant that the Gentiles had just as high a rank in the kingdom of God as the Jews. There were no second-class citizens. Now, Peter would struggle with this, and we'll see it mentioned later, that Peter began to withdraw back and began to treat the Gentiles as second-class citizens. But Paul is arguing in this letter that in the kingdom of God, we are to accept one another. There are no second-class citizens. If you are part of the family of God, you've got a first-class ticket to heaven just like everybody else. Paul's ministry among the Gentiles, he says, is just as valuable as Peter's ministry to the Jews. They're to very different groups, but they are both equally valuable in the sight of God. He says it there in verses 7 and 8, on the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. You know, those Jerusalem leaders, when the word began to get back of all that was happening, they could have viewed Paul as a troublemaker, as a disturber of the status quo, as a divisive person, but instead they saw him and his ministry to the Gentiles through the eyes of God. They saw them, all that work, not as a threat, but as a blessing to God's work in the kingdom. Now, it's easy to see some Christians, if we're not careful and if we're not viewing things through the eyes of God, it's easy to view people at times as troublemakers or as troublesome, and we're not very accepting sometimes of those because of a variety of reasons that we've already enumerated. Remember Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19? Jesus decided to go to that man's house, and salvation would come to that man's house that same day. But the people responded very differently than Jesus was responding. It says in Luke 19, verse 7, all the people saw this, and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now, the leaders in Jerusalem were able to accept those who God had accepted because they were looking through the eyes of God to these. Now, not only did they see things differently, but they took action steps to include and to accept these Gentile brothers and sisters. You know, it's one thing to say that you accept someone, and it's another thing entirely to demonstrate such acceptance to someone. I know at times there are people who have come into this congregation and they have come from very rough backgrounds and they're very different from many of those in this church who grew up in Christian homes. And it's difficult sometimes for them to feel like they fit in and are a part of the church family. And so it's up to us to reach out and make them really feel that they are fully accepted by this church. Peter and James and the others had made their speeches, but they went on to show Paul that they meant what they said. In verse 9, Paul says, "James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me." In Acts chapter 15, it goes on to say, not only did they extend that right hand of fellowship, they drafted a letter. And they sent that letter back to Antioch, where this disturbance first broke out with the Judaizers and all the turmoil was going on. And they sent Judas and Silas with instructions to the leaders in that church that you need to accept these brothers and sisters in Christ, even though they're Gentiles, and don't impose Jewish standards on them. Next Sunday is Bring a Friend Sunday. And next Sunday, if someone walks through the door, you can put on a big smile, because that's what we're supposed to do on Bring a Friend Sunday, and say, "We're glad you're here today." Or you can really get into conversation with some of the folks that are going to be here in the crowd next Sunday. Find out a little bit about them. Follow up with them and let them know how genuinely welcome they are and how accepted they are here. Now, we all understand how that works. How do you know if you've really been accepted in a group? You know, don't you? I usually use a litmus test. You know, anytime we visit churches or go somewhere, you know what my litmus test is to know that I'm really accepted? When someone says, "Why don't you come over and eat supper with us?" Or, "Why don't you come with us and we'll treat you to lunch today?" In the first century, in our century, table fellowship is one of the strongest signs of acceptance that we can possibly give to anyone who is seeking acceptance by a group. The leaders in Jerusalem not only told the Gentiles that they were accepted, they showed it by their very actions, not only in word, but also in deed. Now, sometimes we talk about fellowship, and I've heard in the past, you know, in other places, this idea of someone who is in full fellowship. And implying that there are some people that are in partial fellowship. There's no such notion anywhere in Scripture. With God, it's all or nothing. Either you are my brother and I accept you fully, or you're not my brother at all. For Paul, it meant exercising tremendous patience. Now, they had accepted Paul, and the leaders in Jerusalem did all they could to try to smooth things over with the war that was potentially taking place in all these different congregations. For Paul, it meant exercising tremendous patience as he worked with these Judaizers, as he tried to persuade them that these are your brothers and sisters and they don't have to fall under Jewish law. It meant sticking with some people that Paul would probably have rather just separated from. He could have easily gone on his own way because many of the churches in the regions where he was preaching the gospel were far away from Jerusalem and far away from Antioch, and some of the places even far away from the influence of the Judaizing teachers. Why bother with those narrow-minded brethren? Paul knew he was preaching the true gospel. He knew he was a true apostle. He didn't have to defend himself again and again. He didn't have to submit his credentials to the leaders in Jerusalem. He already knew. God had given him his blessing. Jesus had appeared to him. He had been taught, not by man, but by the Lord. Why should he have to submit to those so-called pillars in Jerusalem? Because he understood that acceptance works both ways. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul would later write, "Submit to one another out of reverence to God." No, acceptance means from both ends of the perspective. It means seeing as God sees and demonstrating that acceptance in tangible ways. We still have, right here at Sunset, the weak and the strong. We still have personality differences. We have a growing opportunity right here with Anglos and Hispanics. There will always be opportunities for demonstrating our acceptance to others in Christ. Remember the story of the spies who went in to spy out the land? We only remember the names of two of them, and that's Joshua and Caleb. They are the two who said, with God's help, we can go in and we can take the land. But all the other spies came back with a negative report and persuaded the people otherwise. Now, I don't know how I would have felt had I been Joshua and Caleb. They were consigned to 40 years of drudgery in the wilderness because of the lack of faith of the rest of the group. And it would have been so easy for those two men to say, you know, that's your doing, and we're not going along with that. If you people had had faith, then we would have all gone into the land by now. But you know those two men, they bore with their faithless brothers and sisters, and they took every step in the wilderness that all the naysayers took, and they eventually would be allowed across when the rest of their generation had died in the wilderness. Those two men stuck with the people of God. You know, in our growth as Christians, it can become very easy to be accepting and tolerant of everyone except the intolerant. Paul was willing to be tolerant of the intolerant and to work both directions in that. In Romans chapter 15, verse 7, he would later write, "Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you." I'm grateful, and I really am, to be part of this congregation because I have seen on numerous occasions the way that folks here have reached out to people who have been very different from yourselves. And I have seen the love and the warmth and the acceptance that's been extended. And my prayer is that the lessons that Paul teaches here in the book of Galatians will help us as we move forward in the years to come, because the isolation that much of the Midwest has known, it'll change over the years, and the generations that grow up will see many more people that are different, and it's something that must be dealt with and worked with in every generation of the Lord's church. Tonight, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation, and He is a God who loves every soul and who will accept every person from whatever background. Tonight, if you need to turn from sin and take that initial step of obedience and baptism, we'll gladly assist you as you do that. If tonight you need prayers of God's people, we will lovingly pray with you tonight. If you need to come, we invite you to do that while we stand and sing.